Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp, October 25th, 2021. After a long wrestling weekend, we've got Raw to talk about. And I didn't hate Raw tonight, but we'll talk about it. Leave a thumbs up on this video here at youtube.com/Fightful. Subscribe, tap that bell for notifications, donate a super chat. It'll get your question or statement read on the air. I am joined by Denise Salcedo. Denise, how you doing?
Apparently, I just found out that I didn't have to show up to this post show because you said I'd probably be here. So that clearly means card subject to change, which means that I didn't have to spend my last 3 hours watching Raw, and I could have been doing some other random thing. So I'm a little upset that I wasn't informed about this a lot sooner.
I know you have those days that are like you wake up, you work, and you work until you sleep.
Yeah.
And then
like every day, actually
got like 3 or 4 of those this week. Like it's nonstop. A bunch of interviews this week. We dropped a bunch last week, guys. Marina Shafir, Tom Lawler, Juice Robinson. I feel like another one. Deonna Purrazzo. And then today we dropped one with Indy Hartwell ahead of her big ladder match.
Must be nice.
It is nice. It's very nice. She was great. She was wonderful. We talked about the wedding, all kinds of cool stuff. But before this episode, what, Denise, what'd you do today?
I'm saying talk to the hand.
What'd you do today?
Voiceovers for my videos and editing.
Are you saying that you did voiceover work, Denise?
No.
I'm so proud of you.
Sean, it's my everyday work for my videos that I do.
That's still voiceover work. I'm
so
proud
of you. Voiceover work. That's my voice. If it's only voiceover work, yeah. I'm pretending to make somebody else's voice.
Yeah, of course. Guys, get in your super chat to get your question or statement read on the air. But we've got shows every single day. Go back, check out Grapsody from Saturday. Also, a Bound for Glory review, an AEW Dynamite review. That's back on track for Wednesday this week. We are working around the clock, updating our resources section, all that good stuff. So get those super chats in. But right before this episode of Raw aired, Fightful Select broke the news of what would be main eventing and several of the matches on the show. Hell of a main event. That was pretty wild, but I didn't hate Raw tonight. There were some things that I really just were like, but
Sean,
I didn't hate it.
I have the perfect I have two really great analogies for Raw today. Okay. First of all, it was kind of like a roller coaster. And the reason by that is like the highs were really high. Like they were really good, but then the lows were really, really low and kind of lame, you know?
Yep. There you go. I agree. So what I usually do is tie in the promo with the main event segment, but I think we should kick off with that because I've got plenty of things to say about this promo in general. So Big E comes out and he's pushing the fact that he's champion. He gives credit to Xavier Woods, Drew McIntyre, all that good stuff. And then we get interrupting promo. Knock, knock, Denise.
Who's there?
Interrupting promo.
Interrupting promo.
Promo!
What? What did you say? I don't get it. That wasn't funny, Sean. Knock, knock jokes are supposed to be funny.
We got an interrupting promo where everybody came out and made their case to be champion. The only problem is, Denise, all four of these people lost their last match. All four of them. All four. Look at this. Comedic legend over her head. Oof, Denise. Of course, Denise didn't get it.
I'm sorry. I just don't. I laugh at other stuff, Sean. I don't, you know what? I think we've established
that
you and I do not
hilarious.
Share the same thing. No, you and I do not share the same thing in terms of what we think is funny. Okay.
Oh, my gosh. Anyway, Seth Rollins comes out. And then here's what I love. Like,
Sean, we're not even 5 minutes into the show and we're already non-coexisting.
I know. Rey Mysterio comes out and he goes, if anybody deserves a WWE title shot, it's me. And when I heard that, I heard, if anybody deserves a WWE title shot, it's definitely me who hasn't won a match in 3 months. That's what I felt like.
Look,
I was
Sean,
come on. If they would have just told us, fresh start, fresh slate, season premiere.
They did. They said new season premiere. That
That
instantly means fresh new stuff. What else does new season premiere mean?
Did it? Maybe.
Yes, it does, Sean. You got to read in between the lines.
No.
Yes.
Here's why, Denise.
Because new season premiere?
Oh, no. You don't read between the lines in WWE. They beat you over the head with it with like a mallet. They treat you like you're stupid.
They kept telling us new season premiere.
Yeah, but they didn't say like, oh my gosh, everything's so I just disagree.
When does WWE explain things to us? Never. You just got to take it for what
are
it is.
You
new
kidding
season premiere.
Me? No, you are mistaking them explaining things for them being too lazy to do it. If they want you to know something, oh boy, look at these guys. They're having so much fun. That's, oh boy, they explain to us everything like we're idiots. If they don't explain it, they don't want us to know. That's how it is. There are not
They don't want us to know that all these guys are coming off of losses.
Exactly. So we get that, and I'm like, okay, cool, whatever, fine. By the way, guys, thank you for the super chats. This promo, I mean, it was the interrupting promo. You know the drill. You know what's happening. We've seen it before, Denise.
All right, well, can I just say that I actually like this? Like, I know the whole thing about them coming off of losses, but I was willing to look the other direction, okay? I'm tired of looking like I just hate everything because I do not. And I legitimately enjoyed this entire promo. I like Big E, you know, starting off his thing, Seth Rollins coming out and Big E essentially telling them you lost to Edge. You got to go, you know, wait your turn in the back of the line now. I really enjoyed that. Rey Mysterio coming out was a little bit out of the blue. I didn't really see that coming. For a second, I really thought that they were going to go back to Rey Mysterio versus Seth Rollins. And I thought they were going to do Rey Mysterio versus Seth Rollins. And whoever won that match was going to go on to face Big E. But then you get Finn Balor coming out. And I like that they all came out. And yes, they're all coming off of these losses. But they kind of made up for that. And this is how I'm going to twist it, okay? This is how I'm going to defend this, all right? They came out and they started basically listing their accomplishments of things that they have done. You know what? That blinded me a little bit. It worked. It tricked me for a hot minute, so I enjoyed it. Then you have Kevin Owens coming out, and then I started thinking they should do a four-way. Sonya comes out. She announces a four-way, and I'm thinking, hell yeah. And then she says it's going to be a ladder match, and I was like, hell yeah.
Denise,
so this was the win for me, okay?
I am getting tired of you respecting me or disrespecting me. A one-time OGC 149-pound third-place medalist. A one-time Naga 170-pound silver medalist and a one-time EMAC 185-pound gold medalist. I'm getting very sick
and
of this.
And a 100-time pain in my ass, by the way.
Also, a one-time owner of this belt. You want it? Reach out. Reach out and grab it. Reach out.
Sean,
do it. Reach to your camera. Do it right
now. No, I'm offended.
Oops,
right
I dropped
now.
It.
No, I'm offended right now. You're not bragging about the best award that you've ever received, and now I'm angry.
Oh, you mean this? Because you're not the world's greatest dirt sheet boy, but I am. Also, I am the one-time owner of a signed Hillbilly Jim action figure. Are you?
I doubt it.
Brandon Charles Powell says, SRS versus Denise, the one rematch I don't mind seeing over and over. I am Lucha says, had to interrupt Homeland Binge to come hang and enjoy how Denise indirectly quotes Half-Baked. Hey, SRS, what's it all about again?
I quoted Half-Baked?
Huh?
What?
Raphael says, Sean, I swear you better go get your Naga belt. I didn't get a Naga belt. I was second place. I think they did a medal there that day.
Second place? Sean, you're either first or you're last.
Well,
you're not first, you're last. Sorry, bud.
I guess I was last because I definitely wasn't first. I got ran through.
There you go.
In that
so
tournament.
Don't brag.
I didn't brag. I just said I didn't get a belt for it. What the hell are you talking about? GM Classic says, hey, Denise, it was great meeting you at PCW Ultra. It was a real honor, and thank you for the advice. SRS, you already know, FTF all day. FTF. It's been over a year, and that's still over.
Yeah.
Man.
People like to curse, Sean. Shocker.
Razor says, BTW, do we have the SRS SOS song yet from Grapsody? It's still all about the butt. People were getting tired of it's all about the butt, so I'm laying off of that.
Oh, people complain to you?
Yeah, they were getting like, pretty.
What'd you say? I didn't see.
They were like, oh, it's all about the butt is just getting old. It's getting way too.
But you did it for two shows. And the first show was the introduction. You did it for more shows, didn't you?
I would never. You know it's all about that butt.
Sean. You're starting to book this podcast like WWE. We're telling you we don't want it. And what do? You book the same things over and over again.
It's all about me. And it's, you know it's all about that life. But
Sean, I need this job. I need the money. You cannot push our viewers away.
Rob Reed said, how did Hillbilly Jim sign that figure when he's still giving his Hall of Fame speech? So funny story. That was the first action figure I ever saw. The first wrestling figure I ever saw was a Hillbilly Jim. I told the people at Toy Vomit this, and he reached into a glass case and he said, here, take this. And if you doubt that he signed it, here is an actual print photograph of him holding the figure that he signed. Unreal. We've got some people talking about some stuff that happened this weekend, Denise. Charlotte Flair. Becky Lynch, KE775 says, is it true Sonya wanted to lay hands on Charlotte on Friday? Is it true that Charlotte has become unpopular with her peers from PW Insider? I mean, if you don't want to waste your money on a super chat, the quick way is, if we haven't reported it, I probably don't know because I'm probably working to verify it. Like, I've had nothing but DMs about this today and about 100 long. What's going on here? What's going on here? Even Jimmy was messaging me like, hey, can you figure this out? And I'm like, what do you think I'm doing? What?
That was your boss basically saying, get the good shit out there, Sean.
Twiddling my thumbs all day. I've been on the horn all day trying to figure this out. It was messy. It was a very messy situation. Nerd Guru says, I don't know what's rumor and what's not, but I've been saying for years that Charlotte never sells. Even the poorly booked people at least do their job. There was one person that expressed that concern to me, but I'm not saying that I shared that sentiment, but somebody did share that sentiment. Emily Cease, our bestie, says, you know, it's all about the woof, which is important. Ken Shearer says, is the new era of Raw just SmackDown? It did feel like it. We had a lot of the same teams, Street Profits, Alpha Academy, the Dirty D-Wags, Denise.
Jesus Christ. I'll share my thoughts later on that.
Kari Fly says, the only new thing about this season is the horrible entrance songs. I guess we can go on to Damian Priest for this one. What did you think of that new entrance?
Sean, have you not been seeing my tweets? Do you not know?
Ideally,
do you not know, Sean? Do you not know that this is that the Damian Priest entrance song was my favorite thing? This is my thing. This is my song, man. The whole like dun 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 thing. That was all for. I enjoyed that very, very much.
Yeah, I thought it was a lame change. I mean, quite frankly, I don't look at anybody's tweets or anything during the show.
I know, because you're just a ham. Anyway,
I work. I get in the zone. I work. I can't help it.
Sean, sorry, I've seen your Twitter feed, all right? Don't lie to us. Don't lie to us. Anyways, but what I'm trying to say here is that I freaking love that song so much. And when they changed it, a piece of me died. A piece of me died today, Sean. And that was it. It killed me.
Yeah. Nikolai Kreese says, Toa Leona killed it with FTR tonight. And hey, Raw didn't suck. So yay. Well, we got Damian Priest versus T-Bar. And I was very excited about this match. We haven't seen it before. They were laying hands on each other. This was a sirloin beef sons of bitches match, and it was good. And then it got hilarious to me.
Why is it hilarious?
T-Bar threw that damn office chair. And Damian Priest looked like somebody stole his juice box. He was mad, Denise. He went off. He stomped T-Bar's head, clotheslined him upside down. Do you think this, I mean, I'm sure it continues. It's WWE, so even if it ended in a clean pinfall, next week it was going to continue. But because of this, it's got to continue more. But I also do wonder, why didn't he just win the match? I mean, I get it. He got hit with an office chair. But if they were going to have him do all that, I don't believe that T-Bar is going to beat him next week either.
All right. So first of all, I was depressed about the theme song, but then the match got started and I thought, okay, you know what? I'm cool. Like, let's see this. Like, we haven't, like, that I recall seeing Damian Priest versus T-Bar that I remember. So I was like, all right, cool. I'm into this. Let's see what they do here. At the beginning of this, they gave T-Bar a lot during this match. So I started to think, oh my God, what if they're just going to have T-Bar just like out of nowhere pin Damian Priest? And there was at least two different moments in this match, like right at the beginning, where I thought that the match was over and I thought that they were going to pin Damian Priest, and I was like, oh God, please don't go this direction. And then there was a moment afterwards right before he tossed the chair where I thought they were actually going to go into like this long match, and I was like, okay, I'm looking forward to this. And then he threw in the chair and it ended up being a DQ, and I was like, damn, it had to be a damn DQ. So yeah. I was a little irritated then. But then when Damian Priest ended up like going off and, you know, just basically like running mad and going all crazy and all of that, I loved it. I loved all of that. But now I'm wondering though, like, was that like supposed to be some sort of heel turn, or is he still supposed to be a baby face? Because I kind of got mixed signals.
I think it's kind of reasonable to kick the shit out of somebody when they hit you in the face with an office chair.
But here's the thing though, like the change in his theme, why would they do that? And then if you notice too, he had like a different look in his eyes.
I got an answer for you. Why would they do that? Because they are inept. That's why. Because they don't know what they're doing.
I don't know. I have a feeling that they're turning him heel. I felt it today. I got the vibes, man. I looked right into his eyes and I felt it.
Well, El Rey Velez says, why did they have to change Priest's song? The old one was so good. I mean, same with Sami Zayn. I think Sami Zayn's was perfect for him. RH says, I truly thought Dijakovic was debuting. And I was going to feast my eyes. I fully expect Mia Yim to come back in the Reckoning mask at this point. I mean, she's not mentioned. She's not backstage. Shown with all the other women. Like, it's very, very odd. Nikolai says his Neutron is the clue. Damien's side was the evil priest. Oh, but Damien was the evil side. Priest was the holy angelic. Then why not wait and do it next week? Why not wait and do this new shit next week after he's had the big turn?
So am I right?
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. I'm gonna ask.
Because I've been asking, I'm like, where is he? Where is he? And they're like, oh, we just don't have plans for him until after Crown Jewel. And I was like, that's weird. He's a champion.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know.
SRS mute Denise in due time. Kate Hensler, who's back from the Jericho Cruise, says, is this a season premiere of the post show? I mean, I guess it kind of would be because you started around this time of year. I mean, fall kind of. Maybe it's like
September 2019.
Yeah, but I think it was like kind of early.
We postponed the season premiere.
We decide how long it is. Cyclops says fans are butt hurt that it's all about the butt.
Please no.
Zakari says, hey, Sean and Hollywood Salcedo, and it's Salsadio. I appreciate you misspelling her name. I love that.
Wait, say that again. How did they
spell
Salcedo?
Hey, Sean in Hollywood, Salcedo, for Super Chat on Fightful, usually a Wrestle Talk boy, but just start listening to you guys. Take my money. Well, we appreciate you. Please intentionally misspell her name all the time.
Dude, I misspell my own name all the time. I don't care.
Fair. Guys, get in your Super Chats. Get your question or statement read on the air. TNA for Life says, tonight's Raw felt different. Focused storytelling with a clear linear direction. It actually felt worth watching. I did not regret watching this show. That I will agree with. We had Zelina come out and do her coronation. She would switch between her accent and a bit of a British accent. I liked it. I thought it was harmless. It was stupid, but it was harmless.
Why did you like it? It doesn't make any sense.
Because what else was she doing?
Well, I'm just saying, just because you win a crown all of a sudden doesn't make you like, I don't know, British or something.
Sure does.
Does it really?
I got on a quiz show and I turned British. What are you talking about?
Jesus Christ. All right. Well,
it's okay. You can call me Sean.
We share different views on this.
So Zelina is giving her speech as the rest of the roster, six girls, watch on. And, you know, I would like to think that they're going to push Zelina. They should have before this, Denise. They should have before. But
and during the tournament, you know.
I know what it's going to end up being. It's going to end up being Zelina with this gimmick eating a bunch of losses and them saying, well, she's got the queen gimmick, so that's all she needs. Tonight was a little more promising. She faced Doudrop again for some reason. For some reason, Doudrop's doing those axe handles that everybody complained about last week. Again, this was whatever. I'm way happy that Zelina got the win because I don't need to see them 50-50 the queen right after she became the queen, Denise.
That was legitimately the only pro about this because immediately I just thought to myself, like, damn, like this is supposed to be the season premiere and we're getting this as a rematch. And so the fact that they actually gave her the win here, that was the only positive because I was thinking the exact same thing you were. I was thinking, all right, because she has the crown, they're automatically going to think that they can give her a bunch of losses or that they can 50-50 book her and all of that. And quite frankly, that's what I was expecting. But the fact that she got this win, I thought, hell yeah, you know what? Good for her. Might as well do something with the fact that you crowned her queen. Give her something because I know I'm not going to talk about this right now, but I just want to say that isn't like not building up women on this show is the reason why we're already getting Becky versus Bianca next week.
We've got a bunch of super chats about this, this is good because people care right now about the Queen's Crown as bad as that tournament was booked. Steven Levi says, so apparently winning Queen of the Ring means you get to speak with a British accent half the time. Anyways, great Raw, great work on Select. Thank you so much for that compliment. And Kari Fly says, I think it's going to be an unworthy queen gimmick. That's why her first win was because she cheated. So I'll tie this into a couple other super chats. Joel Wood says, King Booker had the horrible accent, but it was on purpose. And T.S. Genki says, Zelina's fake accent reminds me of Booker. So tie that into the unworthy queen thing, I think it would have been really funny because they were in Houston. After her promo, they cut off to the side and Queen Charmella's there. And she just says, tell me she didn't just say that. I think that would have been really good and a great nod to history of her saying she's the first queen. She's the first queen because there have been queens before. Queen Sherry, Queen Charmelle, maybe another one that became queen because there was a King of the Ring. But I think that would have been a funny little thing they could have thrown in. And it could have made her like question her credibility just a little bit because you want that out of Zelina. But I thought that Zelina did great with her promo, with what she was given and what she was directed to do. I hope this means good things.
Yeah, I hope this is a new direction for her for sure because they need it. They need to push some women, yes. Period, because they're running out of options.
ShotKid29 says, can't wait to see WWE try to work the Charlotte thing into the Survivor Series build and argue it was all part of the plan, a la Mania 30. So I did see some of the speculation online that people said, oh, maybe this is a WWE plant thing. No, I can tell you very much it was not because I tried to ask WWE about it and they were not keen on it. It was talent. It was people. And quite frankly, most of the talent wasn't even there. They were among the only talent left in the building Friday because everybody else had already hit the bricks because they wanted to go home. They retired from Saudi. There were all kinds of people that weren't there. So there you go. Volub says, yeah. This is the Raw review. Whatever. Where's my Keep Cool Gabagool merch, Sean? You tell them to design it and we'll put it up on the shop. How about that? How about that one? Because I have not been approached about Keep Cool Gabagool merch. I want to see a crossover, Denise, between the Jimmy's Johns guy and Tony D'Angelo.
I don't get it.
You've never seen the Jimmy's Johns guy?
No.
The Jimmy John's sandwich commercial?
No. I've never seen it.
I gotta assign you some homework, Denise.
No. The last time you assigned me homework, I had to watch Joe Dirt. No.
That was great.
I'm done. You know, not assign me homework anymore.
Nerd Guru says there was no mention of brand supremacy tonight. Oh, buddy, give it a week. Freaking Jimmy's John's. That's what we're here for.
Besides, I don't even like Jimmy John's. I think Jersey Mike's is so much better.
There you go. Freaking Jimmy's John's. Well.
What was that?
I'm just thinking about like what we possibly go to. How about Carmella Liv Morgan? Again.
Okay, what do you want to start off with on this one?
The fact that this match happened for the 42nd time, maybe. Why do we need to? Okay, cool. Here's the match. There were two things I really enjoyed about the match. Actually, in comparison to all their other matches, this is probably the best to me. I thought it was a good one.
It's all a blur now.
Yeah,
I've combined all of their matches together in my head.
Liv's Chucky gear rule. I loved it. She's always bringing the gear. I loved Liv hitting the face buster on the table right next to Corey Graves, who just proposed to Carmella. His reaction was great.
And that was the best part.
I adored the finish. That float over face buster that I don't think I've ever seen before. It was like the setup float over like The Rock used to do for his DDT, but it was into a face buster. Really dig that. The face buster is a good little finish. I actually liked the match. Just I didn't care because I've seen it 700 times, Denise.
You know what's sad? When I think about Carmella and Liv Morgan, you know what the first thing that pops into my head besides rematches?
What's that?
The Peacock commentary with the English and the Spanish and the French. Yeah. That's the first thing that pops into my mind. Okay?
Already blocked it out at this point.
I did. That's it. I thought that was hilarious. That was epic, man. Anyways, I mean, it's unfortunate that it happened during that match, but it was still kind of funny, the commentary thing. But anyways, look, I don't understand why we got this match again. And here's the thing, too. If you recall, commentary basically promoted this match when they put it up on the screen and we found out we were getting it next. They were like, a SmackDown feud moves on over to Raw. And I thought, holy shit, like, this is absolutely like nuts that we're actually going to, you know, get this match again, and now they're carrying this feud over onto Raw. That legitimately doesn't make any sense at all. And then on top of that, the only thing that I found entertaining during this match was, like you mentioned, everything that occurred once they got, you know, Corey Graves involved, and, you know, with the recent announcement of their engagement, all of that good stuff, that was enjoyable.
So this match happened on June 4th. Carmella won in 2.5 minutes. Then they did it the next week. Liv won in 3 minutes. They did it 2 weeks later. Liv won in 3 minutes. They came back a couple months later, and they were in a four-way. Bianca Belair beat both of them, so what's that matter? They came back 3 weeks later. They did a tag team match, Liv and Tony, against Carmella and Zelina. That was a count-out, 2 minutes. They came back a week later, did Liv and Carmella. It was about 8 minutes, and that was the best one so far, the kickoff. Then they did the same match a week and a half later. Carmella beat Liv Morgan in the Queen's Crown in 1 minute, 40 seconds. Then they did this. You know, you just had to have that again.
Hey, Sean.
What?
I got a DM from your wife. She's talking shit about you.
I know. She's telling me that.
She can't stand you.
She sent you a Jimmy John's commercial.
She said you're annoying, that you're horrible to live with.
I'm going to mute Denise. My wife sent her a Jimmy John's commercial.
Nope. She said your head is
amazing.
Your head is as big as your ego.
Proud. Mute. Brandon Charles Powell said, so Vince said, let's do a Liv versus Carmella. And everyone said, good idea, Vince. Oh, there was a Bruce Pritchard article where he had the balls to, like, when somebody said, does Vince have any matches that he goes back and watches? And Bruce goes, I think he just does something and moves on. Buddy. Brandon Rosen says, only seven more matches between Liv and Carmella before the feud is over. Oh. Orlando says, wonder if traffic was to blame for half-empty seats tonight. I mean, quite frankly, WWE's tickets aren't moving great. I mean, in comparison to the competition, they're not moving great. There's no other way to put it. Jay Blood says this best of 90 Liv Carmella series is great long-term storytelling.
Have you counted, people say. Sean? How many matches have they had?
Six officially. They had one that didn't even start, though, if you remember. But this is the sixth singles match. But that's what people will say to me if I complain about rematches. They're like, oh, thought you liked long-term booking and storytelling. I was like, what story have they told that Carmella thinks that, or Carmella knows that she's hot? That's it.
That's the story? Well, yeah, I guess you can. I thought she was just, well, I guess that's the story. Yeah, you're right. She knows she's hot. She's protecting her face. What is this? What's Liv Morgan's story in this?
None. There is none. She's losing. Orlando Arrego says, can't wait for SRS to interview Adam Cole and use It's All About the Butts. I'll try. I'm going to try. Getting those AEW interviews isn't so easy for me these days. But.
Ha ha, sucker. I had an AEW interview like last week.
Good for you. I've got one in the can right now.
Yeah, from like 8 years ago, probably.
Just last month. There's a reason.
You see what I mean?
There's a reason. It's actually more about GCW. It's more about GCW. Anyway, the Nerd Guru kicks us off with the Bianca Becky promo. And I thought Bianca did pretty well, but the material she was given, I thought, was not great. Nerd Guru says, Raw, aside from the rematches, felt somewhat inspired this week. A main event that ruled with stakes, and Becky and Bianca had an awesome brawl. They did have an awesome brawl. And I think Bianca is getting great on the mic. She's getting really, really good on the mic. But when they have her come out and say, well, you know what? I deserve a championship match. And I'm like, you got one last week. And you got one earlier last week, and you got one last month. And I'm not saying Bianca Belair, the person, before people get mad and start tweeting at me, they have booked this woman who, to me, if you had her go on a freaking Goldberg streak, I'd buy it. I would completely buy it. Like, who could beat her? Six straight matches, she does not have a pinfall or submission win. But then they have her come out, Denise, and say, well, I deserve a title shot. I don't think anybody does based on record or anything like that. They have her come out and say, that's why you had to cheat to win. It was a no DQ match. This is the same person that they scripted to come out and say, oh, well, I wasn't ready. So the fact that you beat me in 26 seconds doesn't matter. Excuses aren't good. That's not a babyface thing to do. Making excuses is not a babyface thing to do. And she is such an easy slam dunk babyface. They find little ways.
Sean, here's my question. At the top of the show.
Annika says, but SRS, they all in DQs are sketchy. Well, that just shows me that those matches didn't matter. Sorry, Denise. I know that you'd probably tackle that.
I don't want
to talk anymore. Well, I'm just going to mute her. Denise, I know you'd probably want to tackle that. Yes, she hasn't won any of those matches. They all ended DQs are sketchy. What that does is just tell me that her matches aren't going to matter to WWE. Sorry, Denise. Please continue.
Here's my question to you, Sean. At the top of this stream, you said you enjoyed Raw today. I have not heard one thing that you actually enjoyed, and we're not even talking about the main event yet.
I enjoyed the Zelina promo. I enjoyed Zelina winning. I enjoyed Damian Priest versus T-Bar.
Those are little things. That's enough to make it a great show for you.
Well, this low bar, yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go polar opposite of what you just said right now. Well, I agree with all of your points that you made because you had a lot of valid reasons for what you said. I agree with everything
you said.
Yeah,
I'm smart.
Okay. Anyways, but I have to say that I absolutely adored this segment with Becky and Bianca Belair. Like, this for me was one of the highlights of the show. I mean, aside from the main event, this was one of my favorite things that we got. The reason why I liked all of this is because Becky Lynch basically going off about how Bianca was able to accomplish all of these things in her career. The only reason that she was able to do it was because Becky was not was not there. So Bianca was able to, you know, gain all these accolades. And then when Bianca, I actually thought this was Bianca's best promo work that she ever done, because when she first started on the mic, she's always had personality, but there were certain times where she would stumble. She wasn't so sure. Like, you can tell she wasn't completely sure about what she was saying, right? This, to me, was her best promo that she has done, in terms where she was talking about Becky needing validation from the fans, when she was saying how, you know, even though, you know, Becky Lynch came back and she won the title and she beat her, that people are still rooting for her. I think that the way that she delivered that, those lines, she felt very grounded, where it didn't feel like she was cutting a promo. It felt like she was directly telling her something. Like, it hit differently, I think, from all of her stuff that we're used to seeing on the mic. So I actually thought that they did very well together. And in terms of like this one promo for me, like, I was already going to be invested in Becky versus Bianca, sure, right? I was already going to be invested in that. That's a given. But I think that what they did today during the segment made me get more invested, which was why I was so upset when they said that this match is already happening next week. I was not happy about that, because I wanted long-term storytelling.
Lucky for you, Denise, it's going to end in a disqualification or a count out or no contest.
I don't want that. See, I don't want that. You can't do that. You already did their SummerSlam match and it was terrible in terms of, like, you know, what happened and the backlash and all of that. You can't do that, man. You got to give us an honest match when you first get it.
So once we got past WWE's scripting of Bianca, once we got past the I deserve the title match and you cheated, I thought Bianca kicked so much ass. She was great. The brawl ruled. And I will say this every week until it doesn't become noticeable to me. One of the best things that WWE has done for their women talent is let them dress like they want to, instead of making them come out in their gear and a merch shirt every single week, because every time that Bianca comes out there, every time that Charlotte comes out there, they look like the celebrities that they are. They look like people that people want to cheer for and want to idolize and want to emulate their style and all that stuff. And that goes a long way. Like, it's one thing to sell shirts. To me, the cooler you make the talent, probably the more popular their merch will be as well.
Yeah, I also liked when Becky was so confident and she was about to, like, smack her with that kendo stick, but Bianca literally just, like, stopped it like she was, like, an action movie star. Oh, I loved her going off and, you know, like, Sensioneer smacking her with the kendo stick. I love the entire thing that they did after this. I can't say enough good stuff about this segment.
Yeah, they kicked ass in this segment. We've got a bunch of super chats. Danny from the Bay says, are they going to book Bianca like they booked Drew for the last 6 months? I hope to God not. I really hope to God not. Kari Fly says, Bianca is constantly improving on the mic. She had Becky stuttering. She was so good. Bianca has shown great leaps of improvement on the microphone, really everywhere. Like, her transitions in the ring and like the way that her footwork is even better.
Bianca's nailing it, man, in all the categories. She's checking all the boxes.
There's a lot of sink or swim situations, and they brought her up and didn't do shit with her for months, and then she came up and she swam every opportunity they gave her. Cyclops says, please tell me this is all leading to a Belair win. Jeez, you would think so, right? You would hope so. I hope so. Kari says, Becky looks so good. Seth had to steal her outfit. Do you think that?
They both dress great, but...
Do you think Seth is renting his suits, or do you think he's bought them all and he's writing them off?
I think he's bought them all.
Man, I mean, the reality is, if he wanted to resell them, he could resell them for more than what they cost. That's the key to wrestling gear and stuff. You buy gear and then you sell it for more than what you paid for it. But those
types of coats, they take up a lot of space, man. Both Becky and Seth have the money. They got a big house. You know, they just got a beautiful walk-in closet each, you know? Yeah.
Raphael says, was that promo a shot at what happened between Charlotte and Becky? I definitely think the Becky line about constantly being in the headlines, I think it was a reference. I do. Nerd Guru says that Becky Bianca promo had some very thinly veiled shots at the whole backstage situation. Becky also called herself a hero.
I think there was another one, but I don't remember what she said verbatim, though. But I think there was another moment where she also kind of threw a shot. Not a shot, but she alluded to things that occurred.
JW Pringle says, do you remember Asuka? Pepperidge Farm does. I mean, they'd book her if she could. I think she's sidelined. I've been trying to find out, but, you know.
Come on, Sean. You're failing us. You got to get us the cheese, man.
I know.
Do you even know what that
Carlos
is?
Says, no, I don't. What is that? The dirt?
Like the dirt, the gossip, okay. The cheese, man.
I'll do what I can. Joshua Carlos says, this Raw show is unbearable to watch weekly. I didn't think it was unbearable tonight. I didn't think it was that bad.
Just during the rematches, everything else was good.
I am Lucha says, when you two get upset, it validates my fear of for over a year of not watching Raw. That said, how hyped are you all for Full Gear? BTE today was classic. I haven't watched BTE yet. I'm hyped because I get to go to Full Gear. I didn't think I was going to. Denise saved my ass. I won't even lie. Denise saved my ass. So what I had done, Denise, I had filled out the entire...
I also sent you... Hold on. I also told you when the app, the credentials were up for you to fill it out. I told you twice, Sean.
You did. So I had filled out the credential form, and then I got to the point where it's like linked to previous work. And I was like, well, I'm on my phone. I don't really want to go get a link. You know, it's easier on PC. You know how it is. Exactly.
Yeah, because that happened to me the last time.
So I was like, oh, I'll do it. And then you got your approval. And I was like, I didn't get my approval.
Yeah, you sent me a bunch of crying emojis.
Did I?
You did. You were like, oh, my God, they're edging me out. And a bunch of crying emojis.
Did I really? No, I did not. No, I
yes,
didn't.
Yes, you did, Sean. Yes, there's you no did.
Way. There's no way.
I'm about to pull up the receipts here.
Yeah, I bet you are. I bet you are. So anyway, I went and I submitted that and I got approved. So
yeah, you see, you made this big old, you panicked. You were like, oh my God, they don't like me.
Muted Denise. Nerd Guru says, I still hope we can do a Becky Asuka feud where the story is that Asuka let her down, left her title in her hands, and then did nothing, would rule. I would kind of like that, but it would also piss me off, Denise, because it is not Asuka's fault that she did nothing. It would be very much like blaming Baron Corbin for how shitty the show was in 2018 of WWE to run a storyline where it's like, Asuka, you didn't do anything about the belt.
I don't get, though, like, Asuka letting her down. How would she have let her down? What, was Asuka supposed to keep the belt and then just return it to her when she came back?
I guess so. Denise, you know, it's Halloween season.
Yes, it is.
Do you like scary movies, horror movies?
Yes, I do.
Gory ones?
Yeah, of course. I love the violence. Are you kidding me? I love blood.
Well, you know what you're not going to like? You're not going to like Manscaped then, because it's not going to look like a horror movie in your pants when you use Manscaped. None of that. No bloodbath in here. None of that. There's a better way to get your dagger clean and shiny.
Hold on.
You know what I use? Manscaped. Manscaped is trusted by over 2 million men worldwide. Join the movement going to manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping with the code FIGHTFUL. It's time to end the days of shaving your balls and ending up looking like, I don't know. I can't remember the sister's name in the original Halloween. His older sister that got stabbed to death. You don't want to look like her. You don't want to look like her. The folks at Manscaped have the perfect package for your package to get this done. The Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer is in this performance package. The Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer is in it. The liquid formulations, the two free gifts. That Lawnmower 2.0, it's a 4.0. It's got that advanced skin-safe technology. It's like putting a big plastic tip on your knife. That way, you know, when you're doing the hoo-ah, When you're pulling one of these at somebody, you're a little bit safer. I mean, look, think about how your balls and wiener feel like with this. That's not safe. That's why you use manscaped.com and the code FIGHTFUL. You got boxers, the shed travel bag. You get the crop reviver, ball reviver, the crop preserver, ball deodorant. All these liquid formulations, the weed whacker, ear and nose hair trimmer. But that lawnmower is where it's at. I'm telling you, that's where it's at. Fightful at manscaped.com. Save 20%. Hey, Denise.
Hey.
Ian says, quick predictions for Rose, Gonzalez, and Ciampa, Braun. I really liked the video package for Rose and Gonzalez last week. That was cool. I think Braun Breaker wins the title tomorrow. He should. He is the only, he's the thing that has buzz on that show.
I definitely think it's going to be Braun Breaker and Mandy Rose are going to come out as champions.
Yep, I do too. ShotKid29 says, don't disagree about laziness. Is it possible people don't want to go fight Vince because between him and the Yes Men, they know they won't win? I mean,
listen, I think so too. It's not like you can just stand up against everybody who's saying yes to him.
I mean, I don't want to share my opinions on what happened last week because I see both sides, but I was told maybe some of the stuff that was out there about Charlotte wasn't necessarily accurate, but I was told that she did take issue with a lot of the booking last week, and she should have because a lot of the booking was stupid. Everybody went into that main event segment on Friday knowing it was stupid. It's just a couple people were willing to play ball and another one wasn't. Brandon Charles Powell says, arts and crafts with Denise Salcedo, complete with voiceover work via SR.
We should do a show, Sean. We should do a DIY show where I make the crafts and you like talk over it.
Like do commentary over it? Maybe.
Yeah.
Keith Bearcat Lee against Cedric Alexander. Simray G Punk says, when Keith came out to actual roaring sound effects, I knew I was going to have to take a couple weeks off from watching. Main event was good, though. After the roar, I liked what I saw. It was Keith Lee beating up Cedric, and he looked really good. It's just they're taking away a lot of what made Keith Lee popular.
I was about to bring that up.
Well, go ahead. Have at it.
Yeah, I wanted to say that I'm sorry, but they have stripped away a lot of what got Keith Lee over, a lot of what made him special, those high impact, you know, athletic moves that we saw from Keith Lee that were impressive for his size, and you wouldn't expect a guy like that to do them. But instead, they kind of have him working now like every single big guy ever in WWE, slow and methodical and plotting every little thing that he does. I'm sorry, but this is not the Keith Lee that I was a big fan of or was a fan of. I feel like now they just made him generic. I'm sorry. They took a lot of what made him special and unique and kind of made him like everybody else. And on top of this, I do want to, there was a funny moment too at the start of this match where Corey Graves was like, you know, Cedric has a lot of momentum right now. I mean, he did lose the crown jewel.
Do you think Keith Lee would join the Hurt Business? God, I wish he would. That would make him more interesting. Poor Cedric and Shelton got back together and they're just getting that ass whipped. I mean, Keith Lee threw Cedric around all over the place. Andrew says, poor Keith, they took his uniqueness away and turned him into a big man that runs his body into people and roars. I'm sure fans will invest in him now. So, Denise, a lot of the people you would hear from back in the 90s, they'd tell you, work like a big man, work like a big man. I disagree. 7 foot tall guys in the NBA are shooting 3-pointers now. Like, that's... big men are athletic. Big men can do crazy things. That's what got T-Bar and Keith Lee over.
I just don't get it. If you are able to do incredible things at that size or you're able to stand out from everybody else, I don't think I will ever understand the mentality of don't do it and do this instead and be like everybody else. I will never understand that. I've never understood it. And I just don't think that's the right way to go.
I agree. And it's very frustrating. I'm Malucha says it's like WWE gentrified his moveset. They made it very just like, bleh.
Generic. It's generic.
KE775 says, I like Nick Khan's vision with the Saturday pay-per-view and other stuff. Well, sorry, before I get into this, I do like that after the match, Shelton like went face-to-face with him. That sets up next week. It gives me a reason. Cool. If he faces Shelton next week, so be it. K775 mentions Nick Khan's vision with Saturday pay-per-view, but his boss's bad creative is undermining his good ideas. Is Cardiff still the UK favorite? let me look at a message that I got legitimately over 100 messages today. So I got to kind of wade through them. But yes, that is the favorite that I've heard so far is Cardiff. And I saw a lot of people saying, oh my God, it's All Out Weekend. Well, I mean, if they do a show All Out Weekend, it's going to be in the afternoon. So my heart hurts for the Louis Dangors and the Alex McCarthys of the world who would like to travel over here and cover an AEW show. But if you're them, you cannot pass that up. I love that they're doing a UK show, which was not officially announced, Denise. I love SummerSlam in Nashville because I can go to it. I can drive to it. I love two-night WrestleMania, which FightfulSelect.com reported 8 weeks ago. And I love Saturdays. This schedule had so many wrestlers happy that I talked to today. What did you think of it, Denise, as somebody who covers this stuff? Because I know that previously, Saturdays were a lot of the days that you worked, and like some of these will be adjusted because they piggyback off of...
Hey guys, have you ever wondered what happened to the legendary Chuck Norris? I saw a video he made and I was shocked. He is in his 80s, still kicking butt, working out, staying active. He looks like he's got more energy, can work out longer, even has plenty of that energy left over for his grandkids, and he did this by making one change. He said that he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even started doing this thing too. She's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger, her body looks leaner, has energy all day. And Chuck's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their health. Staying active is important. Moving around keeps you feeling good. Making sure that you take care of your gut health, your digestion, just overall, is also very important. Right now, you can go to mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Watch Chuck's video right now. That's mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Check out what Chuck Norris has to say. What's got him feeling so good these days? He explains everything and you won't believe how simple it is.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
These shows.
All right. So I got to tell you, first and foremost, Sean, I got a homework assignment for you. And as a Fightful Select subscriber, I'm hoping to see this pretty soon. I need answers here. Put this in the mailbag, whatever you want. Why the hell haven't we got, why don't we have any pay-per-views coming up in Los Angeles for WWE? Why? I need an answer, Sean.
Why? Okay. So I asked around and this was one person that said it. That they thought that they were going to try to use LA and New York as big TV show cities for a couple times in the year. Like they would put on like big SmackDowns or big Raws or something like that and make them feel a little bit more special than normal doing that. I don't, you know, they say a lot of things. Will it happen like that? I don't know. But that was just the reason that was given to me today. Because I specifically asked...
Maybe more like Raws and SmackDowns over here next year. Maybe, perhaps.
I mean, look what they did. They announced Staples Center like 2 months before, like, because we reported it on FightfulSelect.com. But when Vince and Nick Khan heard that Raw was scheduled for LA, they're like, no, we're going to do it for Fox there. We're going to make it a big show. We want to make it like a party for our Fox people to come there. So I would imagine it'll be like New York gets some big Raws. LA gets some big SmackDowns. I think AEW is kind of showing them that they can go back to the same markets over and over again if they put on good shows. It's just, will they put on good shows? I don't know.
Oh, well, that's a little bit bummy. Well, anyways, other than that, those were for selfish reasons since I live here. But
understandable,
the point,
yeah.
Yeah. So the other thing that I do want to get at, though,
right,
is
I got some good news for you soon. Don't worry.
Well, yay. Thank you.
I'll tell you off the air. How about that?
I'm excited. Anyways, but I like the Saturday shows. I think they should have done this a long, long time ago. I mean, this is way overdue. I'm glad that they did Saturdays. I like the idea of having Sundays off, possibly. Yep. I mean, depending on what what other, you know, promotions are running what that day.
You're gonna be working 11 a.m. shows on Sunday, like live. That's what you'll be doing. You're gonna be doing a WWE pay-per-view on Saturday, like covering it, and then you're gonna wake up for Effie's big gay brunch at 11, probably doing some interviews there or some announcing, some stuff like that. I mean,
It's going to be wild. I mean, this week was kind of a mess. And this week was like, this week kind of sucked for me because I didn't even get to watch Bound for Glory. Sure. At this point, I'm like, it already passed. I already missed that train. Oh, wow. Too bad. It was just one of those things where I cannot do everything, you know, that sort of thing. But either way, I like the idea of them doing the pay-per-views on a Saturday. I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully it all works out. And I like the fact that they're doing a bunch of stadium shows. I do like the SummerSlam location as well. That's a really good one. Obviously, they had already announced the Las Vegas Allegiant Stadium show. That should be a good time, too. And that's kind of about it.
Guys, get your super chats in. It would mean an awful lot. ShotKid29 says, Andre the Giant was able to throw drop kicks early in his career. Just saying, Andre did a lot of things that people don't realize that he could do, like tombstones and like modified pedigrees. Sheldon Jackson says, hence why if I'm in NXT, I'd rather stay in NXT than go up to the main roster because the main roster ruined so many great talent. I think you underestimate the pay bump there, my friend. Yeah. Well, here's the important thing. Veer is coming to Raw.
Oh, my God. I'm amazed.
Havri says, SRS is coming to the post-Raw review, just like Veer is coming to Raw.
Amazing.
Oh,
amazing.
Man. I love that super chat.
We should have done that. We should have been like, oh, my God. So like either me or you is coming to the Raw post show.
I'm going to build that hype video.
You should make a hype video because, like, damn, that was kind of silly.
I loved how they set up Dominic and Austin Theory. We're backstage. This reminded me of like 2000 Raw and SmackDown. They're backstage. Rey Mysterio is talking about his match. Austin Theory approaches and he's like, oh, let's get a picture. And he doesn't want Dominic in it. He wants Dominic to take the picture. And Dominic's like, I'm not your photographer. And Austin Theory challenges him to a match. Dominic says yes. This gave me a reason. Why are we seeing this match? This is why. Now, what I don't want to see is this match again. Because Austin Theory won fair and square, walloped him with that finish. Holy cow, killed him with that finish. I like the setup. I like the match just fine. Austin Theory winning makes sense. I like this a lot.
All right, I'm going to be brutally honest here, okay? Well, not too brutal, but a little bit. I like the setup for this match too. I thought it was hilarious the way that he did it, that he wanted the picture with Rey Mysterio and asked Dom to take the picture for him. That was great. But I just don't. I like Dominic a whole lot. I really do. But he's just not that great in the ring. And when he's not with Rey Mysterio, it just really, really shows a lot more. And I just. He just needs more improvement.
Well,
it's just too clear, too obvious.
If you want to find out what he's doing to improve, check out the newest Fightful magazine where I had an interview with Dominic Mysterio. Check it out. We have a tribute to Daphne Unger from Taylor Hendricks. We have Shaza McKenzie in the Wrestler's Tribune, the return of Becky Lynch, why you need to watch Joshi Pro, all kinds of great stuff. Cover story on Darby Allin, fightfulmag.com. It'll be up there shortly. Dominic Mysterio, an exclusive interview. We finally got through our seventy parts with Ricky Steamboat. And Jimmy tasked me. He said, "Who can you get me? Who can you get me for Fightful Magazine?" And I said, "The biggest goddamn star in wrestling, Dominic Mysterio." And we had a fascinating chat. It was legitimately a very, very good interview. Well, Denise, I think, we didn't see did we see AJ Styles at all tonight?
No.
Okay, I don't think he was backstage. No. But I would like to think, Denise, that WWE posted that it's time for a new era, and they tweet with Randy Orton and Riddle against AJ and Omos, and all the follow-ups to it, which was, what the hell are you doing, mate? And said, you know, we should change this. And they did. We had the Dirty D-Wags Alpha Academy and Street Profits in a top contender match. I didn't need the title match to be tonight. Maybe set it up for next week. But I got to say, I liked virtually everything about this. I loved the match. I loved that they highlighted three teams. I liked that the D-Wags won. I even liked that the Street Profits lost. And normally I wouldn't like that the Street Profits lost, but here's why. Omos comes out in the middle of a no DQ match and it's like, there's no DQ. I don't even have to hide this. And how's his big ass going to hide anyway? He attacks the Street Profits. So they now have a reason to go after AJ and Omos in a non-title situation. Sweet, rad, great. That makes all the sense in the world. Then you've got a third team, Alpha Academy, outside who didn't get pinned, so they can emerge later on and possibly be challengers. I thought this was booked really well. Denise, this shit ain't rocket science. That you book something that makes sense, it helps out like five teams at once, and everybody wins here. I loved this. I thought this ruled.
Well, okay. I could see you rolling your eyes. Okay, look, I said a lot of great stuff about today's show, okay? I really did, all right? I did. So cut me some slack here. I need to do, like, confession hour, and I'm going to be brutally honest here, too. I could care less about what we were seeing during this match, Sean. I'm so sorry. I'm a fan of all of these guys, but I could care less because I've seen a variation of this match multiple times on SmackDown, and I paid attention to all of those matches, so cut me some slack. But during this match, I decided to pull up Across the Nation on Spotify, and instead I was dancing to that song. I'm sorry, I could not get invested in this match whatsoever. I tried. I really did try. I couldn't get into it.
I loved it. I loved the booking of it as well. Like, it just made a lot of sense to me. To me, it helped out five different teams at the same time, or at the very least, didn't hurt five teams, because I know that there's something for the Street Profits to go to next week. All for it. Well, then we got the Dirty D-Wags taking on RK-Bro, and the Dirty D-Wags changed their gear. Did you notice that
for
the
second match? I did notice that. Yeah, yeah.
Love that touch. That is such a Ziggler thing to do. And they had a good match. What'd you think?
Okay, see, now this match, I did make sure to pay attention to, okay? Because I was like, all right, cool. You know what? I'm going to be nice, all right? I'm going to give this my full attention, okay? And I'll tell you this much as I was not really all of that interested, and I'll just be real with you, I was not really interested in looking into this match. I thought that Matt Riddle and everything that they all did in this match really got me interested in it, especially the last few minutes. The last few minutes I thought were very exciting, and leading up to the finish, I thought were fun. I like seeing, you know, the incorporation of like Matt Riddle and Dolph Ziggler and just them going at it back and forth. I thought that was really fun. And then that was kind of it though.
I mean, this would have made a lot more sense to me to just do next week. Just do it next
week. Yeah, they didn't have to do it today.
Promote something else. Like, to me, you should have something with stakes every single hour of the show. A top contender match, a tournament match, or a title match every single hour of Raw to keep somebody's interest. But save it for next week. Just save it for next week. I'd be fine with that. The champs don't need to be wrestling every week.
Well, given how good that main event was, man, I would not have minded an extra 10 minutes because that was dope. Yeah.
Nerd Guru says, poor Rhea Ripley, her ceiling is so high and they just have her in limbo. Makes me mad because she's uber talented and should be up there with Bianca. Well, this may come as a surprise to you guys. She is actually the World Tag Team Champion right now. You wouldn't know it because they never talk about
Raw,
the title.
Right?
Yes, they never. Okay. Well, technically, they're on both shows. But you wouldn't know it. And let me tell you, there are a lot of women on the roster that have no clue what they're doing. They've been drafted. They have no clue what they're doing. They broke up Tegan and Shotzi, who won three matches over the champs, won a tag contender match, nothing. You know how fire that freaking match would have been between them, Nikki, and Rhea?
Not only that, Shotzi was actually getting a lot of TV time on NXT. She was doing something on NXT a whole lot. And for them just to, you know, obviously give her this promotion and it's great, da 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 da. And then for it not to even go anywhere. And now we haven't even seen her since I don't even know when's the last time we saw her, to be honest. Yeah, I think it's kind of messed up.
Guys, get in your super chats. We are heading down the home stretch. We're at the main event. Basically, I want like $40 from you guys. Luis Polito says, show was good, but on Mondays, honor is real. Yes, please check out youtube.com/FightfulDistraction. We have, for some reason, given the fellas over at the Distraction their own YouTube channel. It was formerly the Fightful MMA channel, but you can check out the Fightful Fight Night watch-alongs here on this channel. And we've got some good ones coming up. So, yeah, that'll be fun. Like, even though the wrestling schedule is slowing down a little bit, we've got UFC 267 this weekend. That's going to be a whole lot of fun. Then a UFC the next weekend. So our schedule isn't exactly slowing down, even though there's no big wrestling shows the next couple weeks. But we did get a heckin' ladder match, Denise. So Sonya came out after everybody made their case, and she's like, oh, I love that Adam Pearce wasn't there, by the way. He got F5'd out of his goddamn pants last week, so he shouldn't be there. But Sonya's there. She's ready to fight. She's ready to fight.
She's ready to throw some hands.
She is. And she says, let's make this a top contender match, and let's make it a ladder match. Now, part of me is like, of course they're doing that the night before NXT does it. That's exactly what I thought. I was like, of course they
are. I didn't even think about that.
Yes, of course they're doing it. Check out my interview with Indy Hartwell. She's promoting that.
Must be nice.
But holy crap, this match ruled. Kevin Owens walked into the arena today and he thought, how can I piss blood tomorrow? Well, Denise, holy cow.
Bro, he came out. He did not give a damn. He's just smashing his head right into those ladders, like multiple ladders. He's like literally walking and just like banging his head on the damn ladder. That was awesome. I love Kevin Owens.
This was incredible. This was an amazing match. This was so FightfulSelect.com broke the news of this. And when I got the word, I was like, so my first thought is somebody trying to work me? Because that's really good. I was like,
how sad.
I was like, is somebody trying to make me report something? That way somebody can dunk me and be like, LMAO, not true. Because I looked at that and I was like, that's going to be great. And it was. It was exactly as good as we thought it was going to be. Holy crap. Amazing. Ian says, I would love to be on the fly, a fly on the wall and see KO raise his hand when the match producer asks, who's willing to do this death-defying spot? It's 1,000% a certainty at this point for Kevin. And they always look good. They
bless
always look smooth.
He's freaking amazing. He went out there and I think he took the worst beating out of everybody. And that's not even including like the finish. I mean, everything else that happened during this match was just like, Jesus Christ, Kevin Owens. He has a death wish. It's great.
Jay Blood says, who deserves a WWE title shot out of four guys who don't deserve it? Sounds like main event material. Well, here's where I'll let it go. Season premiere.
We just talked about this. We had a whole argument about it.
I tried to tell Denise that was the case that they're making.
Oh, shit. This is BS.
I couldn't get you to curse for the first year on this show.
Yeah, I know.
Kari Fly says, Raw basically started with a measuring contest and ended up with Seth proving he was bigger. Well, Seth got the win here. That made a lot of sense to me. So what I don't like, Denise, is four people who lost getting a title shot. However, I do like somebody having to earn the title shot. I can say that they lost all they want, but you know what? Seth beat a bunch of former champions. He earned the title shot. I'm okay with it.
And literally just based on this match, I'm like, damn, I still want to see all these guys get their go at Big E, man. Like, I still want to see it. Like, I'm sorry, but it was just so good. You know, like I thought like, Kevin Owens' swanton bomb onto the ladder right before the commercial was fantastic. Finn Balor literally launching Kevin Owens like above his head onto the ladder again. And then Rey Mysterio freaking doing the 619 with the ladder and then just like leaping over the ladder. No, not, he didn't even leap. Did he leap? Oh, no, he didn't leap over the ladder. He leaped onto the ladder and then like fell down with the ladder. I think on top, was it on top of Kevin Owens? I think so. So that was another like, dude. And then the finish, I just kind of felt like Seth Rollins absolutely killed Kevin Owens during that. Honestly, this was good stuff. This was really good stuff.
I just got word from Alex Pawlowski that he will be doing Sour Graps immediately following our Raw review over on FightfulSelect.com. So please go subscribe. If maybe you're up for the night, you want something else to listen to, FightfulSelect.com. Alex Pawlowski will be going live. TDX says Owen's trying to cash in a Lloyd's of London policy. And Orlando Arrego says Raw felt like a 3-hour SmackDown tonight. I did enjoy the main event. Can't wait for Seth versus Big E. I can't wait for the feud. I can't wait for the match. I'm very excited about how this is going to go because it feels fresh, Denise. It feels like we haven't seen it a bunch of times. Now, we're about to. We're about to see it like 100 times. And what a lot of people don't realize, Denise, these two guys have been working each other for months on the house show loops. Like, dating back to July, like they have worked, I think like 7 or 8 different matches, like dark matches and live event matches and all that. So they have the benefit of working with each other quite a bit. And the last time they face each other in a singles match on TV was in 2014 on WWE Main Event of all things.
I didn't even see that. So
they have never faced each other on Raw, on SmackDown, on a pay-per-view in one-on-one action. They've had 3 matches. FCW, the NXT title that Big E won in 2012, which I would love for them to reference, Denise.
They should.
I would love for them to reference that 9 years ago he beat him. But then a couple years later, Seth was better than him. Play off of history because it's been long enough. You don't have to tell me that they face each other 10 times lately because they haven't. I'm so excited. This is fresh, Denise.
I don't expect this to be bad whatsoever. I expect this to be good. You know, Seth Rollins does really great work with whoever he's in the ring with. Big E is, you know, we already know that he's good too. And I think that both of them I think they're going to bring a very nice, fast-paced, energetic match that I think it was a good call to have Seth Rollins win. I mean, you know, having Finn winning or, you know, Rey Mysterio, Kevin Owens, or any of those other guys would have been great too. But I think that Seth Rollins was definitely the obvious choice. And it was the right choice, I think, right now, given what Seth Rollins is doing and what Big E is doing, having them come together. It's going to be good stuff.
Douglas Johnson says, imagine if there were 2 Kevin Owens in that match. When I posted the select post about the main event, I accidentally listed Kevin Owens twice.
Oh.
I bet they wish they could clone him and then just re-sign him like that. Nerd Guru says, I think at Survivor Series, they should have Sasha be the SmackDown Women's Champion, run back Becky versus Sasha in a DQ versus a Bayley return or via a Bayley return. Plant that seed for Becky Bayley. Guys, I don't know what's up with Bayley. I don't know like how severe her injury is. I think the last time we had heard it was an ACL injury, but PW Insider had said it was a torn ACL. If it's a torn ACL, she ain't back anytime soon. If it's just something else, then maybe. But I know a lot of people saw her post today. It said, got some good news, smiling today. That doesn't mean she's necessarily coming back. I don't know what it means. I don't know if it means she is or she isn't, but I wouldn't be banking on her to come back imminently.
No, definitely don't think so. Because when her injury happened and the knee issue and all of that, I immediately expected her to be out for like almost close to a year and, you know, all of that. But then I forgot when, but a couple months ago or like a couple weeks or so, she posted something on Twitter where she said that she was ready. Like she didn't really say like she it was kind of like those like vague tweets. But a lot of people took it as like, oh, she's like ready to return. And I mean, I don't know what that meant. It could have been like she's ready to do whatever, you know?
I remember when Lars Sullivan had torn up his knee when he did the Lucha House Party feud and he tore up his knee. And then like 4 months in, he posted some workout videos of him doing like squats and stuff like that. And people were like, oh, he's ready. He was not ready. He was nowhere near it. People in WWE were telling me not only was he not ready, they feared that he could maybe never recover from that knee injury. But people were like, oh my gosh, no knee brace. He's doing some workout. The man was rehabbing his knee so he could walk comfortably. Like, these things take time. One thing I didn't mention that I felt like I should mention, I love the finish of Ziggler and Riddle, that tag match where they went pin for pin. We're talking about two amateur wrestling studs, and Riddle won with what amateur wrestling, it's a spladle. You never see it in pro wrestling. I want to see more of that. I want to see more good pins pinning good wrestlers. I want to see stuff like that, and that grappling exchange ruled. And so does Douglas Johnson, who says, Merry Christmas, Joel, to get us over our Super Chat goal. Thank you so much. Denise.
Yes.
Oh, actually, Kate Hensler says, what Playdle was it? Because it sounds like a Dr. Seuss book. I don't know what that means.
I don't know, man. I haven't read Dr. Seuss in a very long time.
Hey, you'll have to explain that one to me. Denise, what do you got going on? It's been a long weekend for you too, I'm sure.
I'm dead tired, Sean.
Me too.
I'm dead tired. I'm aging.
About to slip into a coma.
I aged so much this weekend. It was nuts. But anyways, honestly, this weekend, oh yeah. Well, I have a lot going on this weekend, actually, now that I think about it. Okay, so this whole weekend, I'm doing a Halloween week on my show, Speak Now Pro Wrestling. Every single day, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday, I'm going to have like a different wrestling-themed costume on the air, so it's going to be like a lot of fun. And then on top of that, on Saturday, I'm going to be doing like some MMA stuff where I'm going to be at a show here in Burbank. Burbank, Glendale. Yes. I forget. And that's going to be very exciting because I'm going to be doing like backstage interviews and that sort of thing. So that's going to be cool. And then the next day it's Halloween and I'm going to be giving out candy at my front door. So that's going to be fun. And then, yeah, a bunch of other little stuff sprinkled in between.
Denise.
What?
You're burying the lead here. Do you know what Sunday really is?
No, it's in Halloween. Did I forget? Is there a pay-per-view? Is there a show? What did I forget?
Oh.
What's on the 31st? I forgot.
It's the Bengals versus the Jets, Denise.
Oh, you scared me, Sean. I thought I had a show that I forgot.
It's the
Bengals. You legitimately terrified me.
The Jets. And the Bengals are going to kick the living shit out of the Jets. It's going to be abusive. It's going to be bad. Ian says, it's been like a month since I super chatted, so I wanted to send love for MDK Salcedo and Butts, because as you know, guys, but
Sean, I have to go to the bathroom.
Denise has got to take a big fat shit.
And you're here putting this butt stuff, and I'm here like, all right, man.
I'm just about to slip into a coma. As we wrap up, Kate said, what spladle was it? Sounds like a Dr. Seuss book. Yes, it does. Yes,
you just read that, Sean. Did you forget? You read that 30 seconds
it
ago.
It said platel, Denise. Sean, you read a super chat.
I'm just going to keep you on the air until Denise shits her pants. Denise, there was a typo in it.
I downloaded a freaking app that tells me to drink water. So I've been drinking a buttload of water. And now I'm like a goddamn fire hydrant.
Not for long.
Ready
it's not
going to
be a buttload of water. So how's your day? Was it good? I'm exhausted, but this is worth it to me. I am dead tired.
Look, Sean, ready
to pass out.
Sean, I kid you not. Look, I have a freaking reminder right now. I don't drink this much water. Look, this is how much water I drank today.
Denise.
You see that? I don't drink this much water.
I just refilled this. I drank a whole gallon. I drink a gallon a day, so don't give me that. But, Denise, how much water is that? I mean, I've got to work, wake to sleep again tomorrow. Oh, for Denise's toilet paper? Has Denise listened to business?
7 ounces, and then I haven't even included this little portion that I drank, and I still have to finish this portion.
Sheldon says, has Denise listened to Biz Markie's Just a Friend song yet?
You need to remind me constantly, or I'll just keep forgetting.
This wasn't for me. I don't know what they're talking about.
I don't know, but I just haven't done anything. I don't even know. I don't even know what this is about.
Guys, thank you all so much. NXT show tomorrow. I had the backstage report on Fightful Select today. We're out.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.